Off the Ball, GAA.
I think it's just interesting seeing how maybe sometimes male coaches think or perceive how women want to receive feedback.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite. Yeah!
Let's talk a bit about Marcus Rashford. I think this is like the biggest development. So he's saying that he's ready to leave United. He got chatting with Henry Winter. He said, for me personally, I think I'm ready for a new challenge and the next steps. I'll just get the rest of the quote for you here. No hard feelings. You're not going to have any negative comments from me about Manchester United. That's me as a person. He said, it's disheartening to be left out of a derby, but it's happened. We won the game, so let's move on. It's disappointing, but I'm also someone, as I've got older, that I can deal with setbacks. What am I going to do about it? Sit there and cry about it or do my best the next time I'm available? If I know that a situation is already bad, I'm not going to make it worse. I've seen how other players have left in the past and I don't want to be that person. When I leave, I'll make a statement and that'll be it for me. So I feel this is like the biggest thing because everything is like speculation about Marcus Rashford. He's in and out of the team. He's scoring, he's not scoring. The manager thinks this or he doesn't. But this is the first time we've seen a clear statement from him of, I think the time could be up.
Yeah, look, I felt like that since, I don't know, probably the start of the season. It just, he hasn't looked right. It's his body language, his work rate. And, you know, we can all turn up and not play well and your performance can dip a little bit, but not running after people, not showing that want and desire, that's the stuff that really grates on me. And I think it's the same for United fans. But one thing for me, Marcus is obviously a very, very, very clever boy, but why he's giving this interview and why he's saying this out loud is beyond me. And he's basically giving an interview saying, I don't want to rock the boat, but I'm going to rock the boat right now. And saying this is rocking the boat, this is not what Ruben Amorim wants to hear. And I remember years ago when, it's a Sean Dyche story. We used to, on a Friday, we'd have a five-a-side. And every time my name would be getting called out on the five-a-side, I'd look around and the players that were on my team were sort of the fringe players or the under-19s players, and I'd always look around and go, why am I on a poor team here? And we'd be getting battered and I'd sort of throw in the towel and just wouldn't want to play. And eventually, it happened so frequently on a Friday, I knocked on Sean Dyche's door and he said, look, what's the story? Every single Friday I'm on the spare shin guards and we're getting battered. And he went, well, I wanted to see which way you'd react to it. I did it on purpose. I wanted to see if you'd run around and try or you'd just look and think, this isn't for me. And you've gone one way with it, son, and I'm not too pleased. And I thought, right, well, now everything he does, I'm going to try and go the opposite way. And I think Ruben Amorim has asked the question of Marcus Rashford. He's threw him out of the Manchester derby squad and he said, let's see what you have left. Let's see if you have that bit to get into the gym. Show me what you're all about. And he's done an interview off the back of it saying, I want to leave. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't been great. His performances haven't demanded that he's in that Manchester United squad against Manchester City. With the way Amad Diallo's playing, he doesn't deserve to be near the pitch. And I think if anybody's going to be really ilked about this, I think it should be Garnacho. I think he hasn't been great this season, but he's been better than Rashford. Mm-hmm. And the two of them to be left out, I thought it was a brilliant move. I think when Arteta first came into Arsenal and there was a whole host of players that were decent but not quite Arsenal level, Aubameyang was our best player at the time. Arteta came in and just got rid of him. He was late for a meeting, got rid of him. That's it. Doesn't matter if you're the best player we have, our biggest goal.
He was the captain.
Yeah. And I think it might have been actually the derby, the Spurs and Arsenal derby, that he left them out of and he said, right, that's it. And that was the beginning of changing that dressing room, changing the mentality. And I think Ruben Amorim might just be at the start of that, which is a good thing. I think there might be some short-term hurt, but it's a long-term vision and I think it's the right thing. You know, where exactly do you see him going, Martin? Because we're saying, you know, I'm with you. I don't think he's finished by any stretch of the imagination. But if you're Manchester United and you're one of the big wigs at Manchester United, you don't want to let him go to a rival within the Premier League because he can make you look very, very silly very quickly. If he hits a vein of form, everybody will be thinking, well, why isn't he playing for United? But talking about the Ruben Amorim and how he sets up, I don't see Marcus Rashford being able to play on the wing because I look at even Garnacho and I think if he doesn't play as a wing back in Amorim's system, he can't really play as an inverted winger forward or up the pitch because he needs the width. I'd love to see him through the middle, but I think Amorim has said he fancies Hoyland through the middle and is going to walk from there. So I don't really see him playing as a left forward, an inverted left forward, and I don't see him playing as a left wing back, so I'm not too sure where he gets into this United team either.
Well, I think that's part of his thinking as well. But when you talk about United not want to sell into a direct rival, well, I look at the table, I'm not sure Bournemouth can afford him. However, Arsenal could, or certainly could go a long way towards it. And Arsenal do need a centre forward. They do need an upgrade on Martinelli. Now, whether they could stretch the boat to get him in is another matter. Whether he'd want to go there, I know not. But if you were looking at one club that's crying out for Marcus, you know, could really do with Marcus Rashford to improve them at the moment, you would say Arsenal, wouldn't you? That would be a really good fit for him if he wanted to make that move.
He could also make the club that he's going to, you're saying that he could make Manchester United look very silly. He could also make the club that he's going to look very silly if, you know, they spend big money on him. Obviously, his wages are probably not going to be quite what they are at Manchester United, but he'd be on big wages. And it's all like the gamble word I always think is a bit sort of overstated, because there's always a gamble about these things, no matter who's transferring from where to where. But there's a significant gamble aspect to this. It would be fascinating to see if Mikel Arteta was... I think all these managers fancy themselves as, you know, I could be the guy that can turn this fellow around. But, God, it would be such a gamble. I'm not sure that the juice would be worth the squeeze.
Well, but if you get him to score double figures, it's better than the output you're getting from a non-existent centre-forward and an underwhelming Martinelli. It's about improving the jigsaw, isn't it, as it were, completing that puzzle. At the moment, Arsenal look short of having the firepower to win the league. Now, they may still win the league. It's not beyond the bounds, but the mood music from Arsenal is pretty negative at the moment. The fans are starting to wonder and question, and they're thinking, well, you know, without Odegaard or Saka and set pieces, what's our threat? And, you know, a bird with only one wing can't fly. And at the moment, Arsenal have only got one wing and they're not flying. You know, they're just about getting off the ground, but they're not going very far. And this was going to be their year. You know, if you said to anyone at the start of the season, Manchester City are going to stumble, who's going to win the league? I reckon the vast majority would say, well, it'd be Arsenal then, won't it? They wouldn't have said, well, it'd be Chelsea or Liverpool. So a lot of Arsenal fans think that Arsenal might have missed a trick. And this could be the gamble, because all signings, as you say, are gambles, one that's worth taking. He's not going to lose value over the next 18 months if you buy him. So you're going to be able to get, if it doesn't work out, you're still going to get a substantial chunk of your money back. And also, Premier League clubs can afford to lose 15, 20 million on players. It's, you know, look at the revenue that they're getting, 450, 500 million a season. Arsenal have got decent wage bill, but they haven't got ridiculous wage bills. And so I think it's one that they could genuinely consider. Yeah, I think it would be worth their while.
Yeah, look, as an Arsenal fan, I think Rashford playing through the middle on form, you're thinking, yeah, that sounds brilliant. But the worrying thing for me is over the last probably 18 months, and I'm not talking about his performances, I'm just talking about his will to run, his will to get after people. And I think if you're Mikel Arteta and every penny counts, everybody in the building counts, you can't have any passengers. You're looking and you're thinking, I think it was only, the summer of 2023, Marcus Rashford signed a new deal at Manchester United. So this has turned sour very, very quickly. And the last thing Arsenal want is to go and get him on 250, 300 grand a week and just have him there, you know, rotating in the background. I don't think Arsenal can afford to do that. But look, I just don't think it's been good enough. If he did, he's threw his toys out of the pram. I think Ruben Amorim's asked him a big, big question. He's threw his toys out of the pram. And I think Arteta might be looking. I think he's a fabulous player, very, very talented. But do we want a player like him in the building? Because he can turn toxic very, very quickly.
Well, can we take on that point? So, Ruben Amorim has come in. He's brand new in the door. They've obviously had conversations. He's clearly not flavour of the month. He's been dropped for the derby. But, you know, if you look at a player like Amad, who under the previous manager wasn't featuring as much as I think maybe now we might be saying, this does not reflect particularly well on Erik ten Hag. But a new manager has come in, breathed fresh life into him. For all we know, Ruben Amorim could be looking at that stuff this morning, bringing Rashford into the office and going, listen, I had to drop you to send a message. I don't want you responding like this. I want you to come in. You know, there could be a very different conversation going on behind the scenes. Is there any possibility that this gets turned around, Martin, and he actually stays and Amorim brings him in and he has a fresh kick in his career at United?
Look, as we know in football, nothing's impossible. However, if you are Amorim and you know that there's a PSR environment which the club has got to be aware of, and you want to make significant changes to your squad, how are you going to fund that? Well, you identify two or three players you can get money for who you don't necessarily need anymore. And that could be Garnacho, probably. And it could be Rashford. And you could pick another couple. And you suddenly then free a pretty big chunk of money, which you can then amortize over a few years to get even, you know, basically you divide what you get in by five. Because if you're selling Rashford and Garnacho and a couple of others, there's no amortization on them. They go for full book value, actually, in reality, full book value, as it were. There's no cost to come off. And it would free them to make two or three big changes in January and also in the summer. Mm. So the accountant side of it makes good business from United's point of view as well. If they get even 70, 80 million for Rashford, whatever it is, it's pure profit. It costs them nothing.